Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
You know, something the Lord has been showing me over and over again, and I really want you to lean in and hear what God has put on my heart to bring to you today. I believe that there are defining moments in people's lives. I believe that there are defining moments in churches. And I believe that we're at the door of one of those defining moments. You know, when I hear the life change stories about people here at Fountain of Life and how God has taken people who are wrecked and broken and shattered and how God has put the pieces of their life back together again, I don't know about you, but I never get tired of hearing a story of a changed life. Can I get an amen in the house? And what God is doing in the church, Fountain of Life, together, it amazes me. We just finished our series called Daring Faith. And anybody get anything out of that series, Daring Faith? Wow. Pastor Matt brought a message that powerfully spoke to me. It spoke to all of us. The message was about the martyrs and how they were willing to lay it all down for Jesus, and how so contrasted to us today, how we love our comfortable Christian life. But he rocked our world that day. There was a man who visited our church that day for the very first time. He drove about 45, 50 minutes to get here, and I met him right after the service, and he had his 12-year-old son with him. And he said, he usually goes in with the kids, but he said, I'm glad he was here to hear that message today. And I think the whole church, not just Fountain, but the church as a whole, needs to hear that God is calling us to give him our whole life. Let me say it louder for the people in the back, that I believe God is calling us to more and to give more than we ever had. And I believe that whenever we give of ourselves, we never come up empty. He just pours more in. Sometimes I think we're asking God, fill me up. And he's saying, fill me up with you, God. And he's saying, empty you of you. Because there's no room for me with all of you. So while we're busy asking God to fill me up, maybe we need to flush some of us out and make room for more of him. I think that if your faith is all about what you can get from Jesus, if your faith is all about the good life and easy living, if your faith is all about mountains and no valleys, if your faith is all about comfort and no challenge, you may have defective faith and not daring faith. God is advancing his kingdom. I want you to know that. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to know that whatever heaven starts, all hell can't stop. That's the kind of God we serve. You know, one of the strategies of the devil is to keep your understanding of the kingdom of God limited to what's going on inside the walls of the church building. The church is in the kingdom, but the kingdom is bigger than the local church. And guess what? God is asking us to join him in some kingdom work. Praise the Lord. There's a great verse that the Apostle Paul uses. He says that we are laborers together with God. Somebody say laborers together. And that blows my mind, Pastor Dave, that God would invite you and me to partner with him. Oh, by the way, he's the senior partner. He's the senior partner. And he asked us to join him. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately. And this is only my opinion. But whether it's our life groups or prayer meetings, that too much of our prayer life is spent on prayer requests. And maybe we should listen to God and see what he is requesting from us. I really love what Pastor Johnny said a minute ago about getting quiet before the Lord. You know how it is. You know how it is when we go to the Lord. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. We're always like asking God for this and this, and we bring a whole litany of requests to him. And in Jesus' name, amen. But I wonder if we hadn't ought to get quiet, because I think prayer is not just a monologue. I think it should be a dialogue. And we're busy telling God what we need and what our requests are, and I wonder if he might have a request for us. Do you think God has any prayer requests from us? I believe he does. And I believe he's inviting us to be involved in something that's bigger than we are. And that's the kingdom. Praise his name. Could he be asking us, like he did Nehemiah, to be a kingdom builder? Now I'm going to take you to the text in a moment and talk to you about this Nehemiah guy who was a sold out, God-loving kingdom builder. And the very character qualities that were in Nehemiah that made him a kingdom builder will make you and I a kingdom builder. And I wonder if there's anybody out of the hundreds that are here today, anybody interested in being a kingdom builder? Could I ask one more time, how many is interested in being a kingdom builder? You might have clapped too quick, because I want to talk to you about what it means to be a kingdom builder. Let me give you the setting before we read the text, okay? Little snapshot. The Jews had been in captivity in Babylon for many years. They had left Jerusalem, a beautiful city, and they were taken captive. There's something about disobedience that always messes us up. And they had been disobedient and had embraced idol worship. And anyway, they were suffering the consequences, and they were taken captive in Babylon. When they came back, and out of the return of their captivity, While they were away, the city had been ransacked. Their homeland had been scarred by an enemy invasion. The walls of their city, Jerusalem, were not pretty anymore. They were broken down, the gates were burned, and it was a city in ruins. God touched a man named Nehemiah, and I mean he touched him. And when God touches you, you know you've been touched. You can be touched by church and never change, but when God touches you, your life is about to change. And God touched him. And when God touches you, it's not about me anymore. When God touches you, it's not about my stuff no more, because I don't have no stuff. It's all his. When God touches you, it's not about my comfort or convenience anymore. It's all about, what can I do to serve you, Lord? Oh, there's something about the touch of God, a fresh touch from God, that'll make you want to worship even in the midnight hour. Something about a touch from God that'll make you want to give more than you ever gave. Something about the touch of God that'll make you want to step up to the plate and say, here am I, God, send me. Something about when God touches you, and one touch from God can change your life forever. Praise God. Anybody remember getting touched by God? Hallelujah. I've been touched, but I'm not happy with one touch. I just want to live under the hand of God. Anybody in the house, I want to live under the hand of God. And if you want to live under the hand of God, you better get ready to set aside your agenda. If you want to live under the hand of God and the blessing of God, how many want to be blessed? Say amen. Well, guess what? He doesn't just bless you to bless you. He blesses you to be a... He was touched by God. And Nehemiah, he got permission from the king. Everybody say permission. He got permission from the king to go back and rebuild the wall. Could I stop right here and interject this thought? We have more than permission from our king. We have a commission. We don't just have permission. We have a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he gathered the materials necessary for the project, got some people together that had the same heartache that he did to see the wreckage around him restored, and he put a strategy together, and they began to build. The project of rebuilding the walls was completed in the remarkably short time of 52 days. And during those 52 days, let me tell you, all hell came against them. I know it's easy to shout, yeah, I want to be a kingdom builder, but once you step out to the front line, the enemy will likely put a bullseye on your back. The enemy is not interested in the comfortable, cozy Christian who comes to church for 90 minutes a week, puts $2 in the offering, doesn't serve anywhere, doesn't sacrifice anything, never shares his faith. His faith is the most private thing on the planet, and the devil's not interested in you at all. But the minute you step out and say, here am I, God, send me. I'm just letting you know that when you want to go out to the front line, you just better get ready that there may be, no, there will be an attack. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? My God, if you're on his side and God's on your side, it don't matter who's on the other side. Victory. Thanks be to God, Corinthians says, Paul writes, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I discover some unique qualities about this kingdom builder named Nehemiah. And I'm only going to talk to you about him today. This could be a week-long series, but I see some character qualities in this kingdom builder that made him effective. How many want to be effective? Some people are just busy. Hamsters are busy. Spinning on the wheel, baby, just spinning on the wheel. They think they're going somewhere, but I don't want to be busy. You liked that, didn't you, sister, in the second row? And then, nobody else may, but you got a kick out of it. Bless you. I don't want to just be busy. I want to be effective. Anybody in the room want to make a difference with your life? Anybody want to be a world changer? But maybe before we change anything, maybe we need to examine our ways. And this Nehemiah, something about him that rocks my world and it challenges me to the core. And number one, he was burdened with the brokenness around him. I said he was burdened with the brokenness around him. Some people can look at this world gone mad and it not affect you at all. But I would pray today that God would share some of his prayer requests. I pray today that God would share some of his requests with us. And I think one of them would be that our heart would break and our soul would ache over the brokenness that's around us. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Nehemiah was burdened with the brokenness around him. Number two, he had a vision to see things change. Number three, he moved and took action. And number four, he had a determination to finish. Let me take you to Nehemiah chapter 1 while I give you just a few thoughts on these here today. Because if you really want to be a kingdom builder, I'd listen real close. I'd put my ear right to the edge of the microphone and hear how your life can make a difference. So the report came to Nehemiah, and this is what it said. They said to me in verse number 3, those who survived the exile are back in the province. They're in great trouble and distress. This is the report that he was given. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. He said, when I heard these things, I went out and played tennis. I went to the Phillies opener in 4 days with Bryce Harper. Is that his name? Sorry, I'm a Met fan. Anyway, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The first thing I see about this Nehemiah, kingdom builders are burdened with the brokenness around them. When he heard this, I mean, before they left, the city was beautiful and the gates were stellar. But upon returning, they found out the enemy had invaded the city. And the walls were in a heap and the gates were burnt to a crisp. And when he heard about it, it rocked his world. He's had this burden to do something. I can't just ignore it. And so he gets permission from the king to go to start to rebuild. There was this enemy invasion while they were gone. Can I just pause here and tell you, there has been an enemy invasion in this world that we're living in. And the Bible says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's been an enemy invasion, and there's not a few lives that have been left in ruins. And while Nehemiah rebuilt walls, God didn't call us to build walls. What he called us to do was rebuild people's broken lives. Can I get an amen in the house? What Nehemiah was building, I want you to draw the parallel today, please. When he was building on walls, God is calling the church to do in people's lives. But it rocked his world. And he wept over it, and he fasted over it. And I wonder when we see the mess in the world and listen to the news, if we haven't become numb to it all. There's people all around us in the shadow of this steeple whose lives are shattered and broken and in ruins, and hurting people are everywhere. Addiction is rampant, especially opioid addiction. Even the world and the news and the politicians are talking about it. People are living on painkillers, anything to numb the pain of their brokenness. Our schools and city streets are filled with violence. Do you know, let me ask you a question. Do you know what the number one problem was in the public schools 50 years ago? Chewing gum and running in the hall. Today, kids are taking knives and assault weapons into school, and it's rape and it's drug abuse, and something's come off the hinges.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.